Here's what happened this morning with Stacey and Clayton.
There is this group of Swedish scientists, and they're out to save the polar ice caps. And what they're doing, they're covering the ice caps in a blanket.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
They're just tucking the ice caps in for bed.
There you go.
Night ice caps, sleep tight.
Don't let the UV rays melt you down to nothing. That's the thing, like these UV rays and the sun rays obviously melt the ice. Science.
Yes.
Thanks, Bill Nye. Now, they cover the ice, and you'd think the blanket would just warm it up, but nay, nay, it actually keeps in all the cold. And also, like the UV rays basically, in some cases, will just turn the ice into water vapor immediately. This makes sure that doesn't happen.
I read it was made with like a coarse wool and cornstarch.
Yeah, wool that can't be made into clothes. Because you got to save the clothes, apparently. Save the ice caps, but don't forget about the clothes.
Not my sweaters.
That's what they were saying. Like, it's not going to affect like the clothing industry or whatever, because they're going to need a lot of it. And like, they had great success, to quote Borat, with their first experiments. Like, they just did this little, like, 3 meter by 3 meter square. And it, like, everything around it was melted. This was just there.
Wow. Okay, so that's cool. That's the thing, though. Like, how many square feet of this blanket are they going to have to make?
I know.
And then does someone have to be like, well, what about the sheep? All these bald sheep who are like, you guys, I guess that's a sheep's job, though, right?
Hey, it grows back.
I guess.
Just like a bad haircut, it'll grow back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know how, get a Rush game, when they have the big Canadian flag?
Oh, yeah.
And they have all the people on the side.
Mm-hmm.
That is tough to coordinate. Can you imagine a blanket the size of Antarctica or the North Pole? Just, yeah, hey, little to the left, little to the right.
And what if the wind catches it and blows it away?
And now it's time for another edition of That One Friend.
We all have that one friend who claims they don't smoke, but they smoke. I only smoke when I drink is this person's catchphrase.
There are two types of closet smoker. One is the person who keeps a pack in their car, kind of keeps it on the down low, hides it from everybody they know.
Well, this friend tries their best to hide it and be sneaky, but it's pretty obvious. I mean, no one else is just sneaking away from the group every 45 minutes. And even if they do, they don't come back smelling like darts. And guess what, Grant? That gum isn't doing you any favors.
The other type of closet smoker is the one who doesn't buy cigarettes. Ever. Which means they're always on the hunt for smokes. Always looking to bum some off of you.
And if you smoke, you probably can't stand this friend. You walk in at a party, they lock eyes with you immediately. Hey Dave, what's up, buddy? This guy, what a guy. I love you, man. Do you want to go for a smoke or a... They don't even give you 5 minutes to get settled, and they're on you.
But because they don't actually buy them, they can keep living that lie, that I don't smoke lie. Oh, it's been so long since I bought these. How much do these cost anyway? Oh, I don't know if my virgin lungs can handle these. Stop the charade. Okay, Simon, we had this exact same conversation last week and the week before that.
Then they'll go on Facebook or Instagram and post 6 months without buying a pack. Hashtag blessed. Well, you smoked half a pack of mine last night, Grant, so what's the deal?
The closet smoker. We all have that one friend. It is time for another episode of Is It Cheap or Is It Genius?
Okay.
We don't have any theme music, by the way. We didn't have any money in the budget for that. Is it cheap or is it genius? You know when your dish soap is almost on empty,
mm-hmm.
your shampoo is almost on empty, your ketchup's almost on empty. You open the top,
this is going.
Put some water in there, give it a nice little swisheroo.
Right.
Is it cheap or is it genius?
Shampoo and soap, yes, genius. Ketchup? You can't compromise the integrity of ketchup with water.
If you add just a little bit, it might be okay. Depends on the kind of ketchup, I think.
Sure.
But some people do that with ketchup and other condiments as well. I saw someone do it with ranch once.
Wow.
I know, right? Like that, again, hey, to each their own. If you're pinching pennies and that's how you do it, good on you. Your visa probably looks a lot better than mine right
now. I guess.
But at the same time,
a bottle of ketchup is what, $3-4? Come on.
Yeah, hey, but how many times do you say that about how many things?
No, but
that adds up though. Like it's just $3 or $4 items. Man, that adds up to like $150 a month, I swear.
No, but when you have like enough ketchup in your bottle where you're like, well, I better add some water. If you added all those instances up, it would take you forever to actually make up a bottle of ketchup.
I know.
Also, very quickly, I saw this on Amazon. You can buy tiny, tiny little spatulas for scraping out bottles.
Oh, I had no idea.
You can get them for makeup and foundation. You could use it in a ketchup
bottle.
That's
actually a genius idea for toothpaste. Someone needs to get that for toothpaste. You ever cut open a tube of toothpaste that you think is empty?
I haven't, but I am very particular about my toothpaste. I hold on to the end and squeeze it all down.
Some people have like the paper clip that they put on the end there.
Oh, yeah.
Like the black one that opened, they put them on there so it gets all out. I don't do that. And one time I cut it open just to see how much toothpaste I was wasting.
It's kind of shocking.
Mind blowing. I'm like, now I do the roll up sleeping bag thingy with my toothpaste.
I have another tip for you when it comes to toothpaste. Okay. You're getting down to the nitty gritty.
Put water in the toothpaste?
No. You suck it out.
Ew.
Honestly, you get a lot out of there.
Okay, that doesn't pass the walking in test, though. We talk about it a lot on Cruise Mornings.
That's true.
If you're doing something a little weird, what would someone say if they walked in on you in the middle? If I'm just going to town on a toothpaste thing. Hey, what you doing over there, Clayton?
Saving money.
What you doing over there, Clayton? I'm doing me.
I've been seeing a lot of my neighbors raking already. I swear to God, this one neighbor down the street, they rake every day. There's a little pile of leaves every single day. They take a little bit off. And I was like, that's a good strategy.
At least they're not a leaf blower person. Like, at least they're raking their leaves and not doing the...
Well, they're far enough down the street that I wouldn't hear them.
My neighbor growing up, every single day, leaf blower and snow blower, year round. It was...
That blows.
Boy. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, looking at our lawn, we have some big trees around us. We don't have any big trees in our yard. We just get everybody's leaves, which is, I'm pretty sure, how that's supposed to work.
Yeah.
And I'm contemplating, because Sean and I usually do the one afternoon in the year where we go crazy, rake the lawn. But the neighbor has just been mowing it every day.
Yeah, he's doing it the right way.
Because, first of all, there's no physical exertion aside from pushing your lawnmower.
Yeah.
And then it chews them up, bags some of them, and leaves a bit behind for mulch.
Now, there is, like, one argument that the grass doesn't get, like, fluffed up, right?
Well, that's what Sean said. He's need to comb it.
If you want... Well, I don't think that's the right word.
that's how he describes it.
Yeah, just get out there with a hairbrush and just start going to town. No.
That's what the rake is, though. It's a big old hairbrush.
When you think about it, a rake is just a lawn comb.
Exactly.
Wow, you're totally right. It's a comb for the lawn.
Do you remember the first time you had coffee?
I remember being like 10 and like every 10-year-old, Mom, let me have a sip of your coffee. Dad, can I have some of your beer? Thinking I was so cool.
Yeah.
And then you have that sip and you're like, never again. First thing of coffee I had, it was before a hockey game. I played goalie when I was a kid and I was always a nervous wreck. Someone suggested have a coffee before the game.
With some caffeine.
Yeah.
Calm your nerves.
I don't know who gave me this advice, but it didn't work. It made things worse.
No
but
kidding.
That's when I kind of appreciated, coffee's not bad. Because my first sip of coffee, I think everyone's first sip of coffee is black coffee. And you're like, bleh. And then you realize you can put stuff in there. Milk, cream, sugar, sweetener, whatever. And it's like, this makes it delicious.
That was my first sips were when I was probably, I'm going to say like 5 and 6. Anytime we had supper at Grandma's, afterwards, it was always coffee and cookies, dipping your cookies in the coffee. And Grandma had like farm cream with sugar. And so the coffee was amazing. And I was like, this coffee is good, but I wasn't allowed to drink it. Fast forward to where we are today, and apparently, I don't know why I use that kind of reference, but basically, coffee drinking is becoming less popular.
Like with young people?
And I find this so strange. They are breaking it down. They're saying that 63% of Gen Z adults say they never drink it. And Gen Z, in case you're wondering, is like people age 9 to 24.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, that makes sense. Like, I wasn't drinking coffee, actually, until I was probably in my early 20s.
Yeah, I think people start drinking right around that, like, 16, 17, 18.
But
like,
I think
they are going to start young. I think that's the youngest people start.
I think what's happening, though, is, like, that boomer age group of, like, my parents, coffee was life. My parents went through, I think I would call, like, a very intense coffee addiction for a number of years.
There was never a gathering back in the day that never had coffee.
No.
There was always coffee. Coffee was the center, right?
Yes.
It was like the nucleus, if you will, of the gatherings back in the 80s.
I remember my parents would, dad would make a pot in the morning, drink it before work, pour another pot.
A whole pot to himself?
Well, and share with my mom,
gotcha.
Sorry. And then pour a pot into his thermos to take to work.
Yeah.
Gets home, pot of coffee on before supper. After dinner, pot of coffee again. Like it was, the coffee maker was always on in our house.
And the younger generation apparently
and
just
now,
no coffee. And if they do, it's not like the big pot. It's the pods, right? The Keurig things,
or the fancier coffees, you know, like they're really enjoying lattes and macchiatos.
The $9.50 coffees, the not worth it coffees. It almost seems like it's like the it's not unhealthy, but it's like the caffeine's bad for you. Meanwhile, they're crushing two Red Bulls a day. Because we're such big deals and huge big time celebs, we both have car starters. Let me tell you,
it's
nice being super famous. Mm-hmm. No, both of them, they were gifted to us.
Well, mine came with my car. It's built in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had to get mine installed. It was like, it was my Christmas present a few years back. It's like it's the fanciest thing I own. Fanciest thing I own.
It's with like an app on your phone. You can start it from Mexico if you wanted.
If I wanted to, yes.
Wow.
I don't know why I would want to. Just mess with my neighbors who know I'm in Mexico. What the?
What's going on?
Does Clayton have Knight Rider? Wow, cool.
That's Kit.
No, but you're the one who cracked first. You started your car this morning
with your car
starter.
Yeah.
Coward.
I have no excuse. I'm a coward. I'm a suck. As I've gotten older, I've become a huge baby when it comes to the cold, and I hate it. And so if the technology is there for me to take advantage of, I'm going to. Plus, when I did get in the car, and like I started my car for maybe 45 seconds, honestly. It was kind of ridiculous. I don't even know why I did.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have a heated steering wheel, which
La-dee-duh.
Is amazing. Again, it came with a car. It's not like I had it installed.
No, again, we're huge deals. That's why we have all these fancy things.
But anyway, my steering wheel heater comes on at a certain temperature. So I was like, well, if my steering wheel is coming on, it's clearly cold enough where I should be starting my car. So I'm just justifying the fact that I already started my car.
Am I overhyping the car starter, by the way, by thinking it's all fancy? Like,
no, car starters are amazing. Yeah. And once you get one, you never want to be without one.
I can't go back to that life.
No.
It's the best gift ever. If you're looking for a good Christmas gift, like doing the early Christmas gifts, I find, like gifting something in October, November, totally takes the pressure off.
Yeah.
Hey, you're going to need this for the winter anyway, so I'm going to gift it to you early on. Boom, Christmas is over.
Yeah, but then it's like, what do you give them on Christmas?
Oh, give them $5 Tim's card. You already gave them the super expensive gift of a car starter. Like, if you're going that route, if you're going, hey, I really want to treat someone in my life, car starter. Those practical gifts, they might not seem, you know, they're not sexy, they're not romantic. Who cares?
It's the best gift.
Actually, a warm car is,
that's
quite romantic.
Stacey and Clayton, weekday mornings 6 to 10 on Cruise.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.